Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Guys, I don't want to jinx it, but I think we're getting out of this one.
They're not coming back. The water's coming in. This is our time now.
Sometimes it's just the power of patience. Sometimes it's just the power of patience. First thing back at the bottom of the ocean, I'm gonna find a nice lady. Just have a clutch of eggs. Cause it's time. I thought I was gonna have to breed with you, Sarah. Just like a last minute thing before I got boiled. We're both glad that didn't happen. I don't know how I'm gonna get the rubber bands off my claws, but I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Somebody in this tank has great karma. That's not me. Here comes the water. Hey, let's stay in touch, guys. Let's not lose what we got here, okay? Because something happened between...
Good morning, Sweet World! And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 18th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. And alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
Podcast listeners... This is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matapsha Hot Boy, getting his hair tight. Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. JD. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube. We love it. Smash the like button. Subscribe. Share the show. Podcast listeners, leave us that 5-star rating and review. Before we get in to the NBA news and games from last night, happy anniversary to you gentlemen. Here, part of the show, 18 years ago, we started this weird thing, and we're still sitting at a table talking about basketball.
Yep.
In the mics.
Same
yes.
thing, yeah.
It's incredible. So thanks to everybody who's listened to the show, watched the show, shared the show. Either if you're new here, or some of you have been here almost since day one, which really blows my mind. But we didn't know what this was going to become when we started doing that. We would eventually add TK and Matty O and Lee was here and we got Jerome now. But we truly appreciate it. In fact, I didn't know if we had photo evidence of that first podcast that we did, but somebody on Twitter did find a photo. So thanks to Luis for finding the first photo of us sitting down for that very first podcast, episode 001, where we gave you some Raptor news and talked about the NBA. Yeah, we look, look this similar, I guess.
Yeah, who drew the pictures of us on the wall there for the first show? Cool move.
We knew we were going to become big. So thanks to Luis for finding that pick. Okay, so yesterday, the Toronto Raptors agreed to trade power forward Pascal Siakam to the Indiana Pacers for 3 players and 3 first-round picks. TK and I went live to record an emergency podcast here in the factory. So that is in all of your feeds. It's on YouTube. You can go check that out. It's about 25 minutes long. Just to refresh your memory, the Raptors got Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, Kira Lewis Jr. from the Pelicans, 2 2024 first-round picks, and a 2026 first-round pick. The Raptors did have to waive Christian Koloko, and the Pacers get Siakam, and I guess a future second-round pick by way of the Pelicans. This was a little... cost-cutting move here from the Pels to get off of the Lewis deal to include that second-round pick so they could get under the luxury tax.
That tax ain't a luxury in New Orleans. That's right. We're not doing it.
That's all right.
Hey, you want a Kyra Lewis? Go for it.
Yeah.
Just toss him in.
So, again, we did the emergency podcast, but we got to get your thoughts here, Tass, on the big move yesterday with Siakam going to Indiana. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to miss Pascal Siakam. It was a good run, Pascal. Self-made man. self-made basketball player, 27th pick, all NBA, all-star, all that is done. I like how the Raptors gave it a long run. I know the Raptors fans, a little upset. No, nothing substantial enough for OG. We should have traded him earlier, Pascal earlier. I understand they gave it almost 5 years here. That year in Tampa really screwed things up. Why did they have to play in Tampa? That prolonged everything. Anyways, I do appreciate that from Masai giving it a shot. And I do appreciate the package he got back. I understand that people may say three first-round picks and three guys who may not be on the roster next year, that's not enough. I totally understand that, but I think the Pacers were overpaying in relation to every other team. I don't think they get three picks from any other team, but the Pacers wanted a star going into this free agency because they just didn't know who would come. They get all their stars via trade. Tyrese Haliburton and now Pascal Siakam. So that's what they had to do. They gave up those three picks. But it is a little scary for the Raptors because Bruce Brown and Jordan Wara and Kyra Lewis might not even be there next season. Right. They're not under contract. Although Bruce Brown is a team option, he's going to be fun with the drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick Raptors. We saw it last night. We'll get into that game.
Yeah.
But other than that, Kyra Lewis, yeah, he was a lottery pick 4 years ago. Can't even make Pelicans rotation right now. Jordan Wara, yeah, it'll be fun hitting threes for a second, but who knows if he's going to be past this upcoming season. Masai gave up, but to get three first-round picks is absolutely decent. What those three picks become, who the heck knows? So all said and done, in this instance, it's a good package. It's as good a package as you can get in the NBA world, but well, it is one of those that, well, what did that 24 pick become? What did that 26 become? That's really what matters right here.
They could be star players or they could be absolutely nobodies.
Yeah, and they will be late. The one from this year is OKC, most likely. It's going to be, it's via OKC. It's the lowest of those four picks. Pascal was a 27th pick, although this this 24 draft apparently ain't all that special.
Right, right.
But who the heck knows? Again, Pascal was a self-made man. He did not look like he was going to be an all-NBA, an all-star type player. So three picks is good is all I'm saying, and the Pacers were willing to give that up. It is unfortunate. Yeah, they couldn't get a Nembhard from there or even a Buddy Hield from there. They got Bruce Brown, who was awesome for the Denver Nuggets last year in the finals. He was awesome. So he may help the Raptors. He's got that arrogance. He's got that confidence. It was fun. That's what helped him win the championship. So TBD will help the Raptors move on. I think he's going to play a lot. That's for sure.
TK, what do you think after having some time to digest the deal and maybe read some things, hear some other people talk about it? What else you got on this?
I think I like it even more and more for the Pacers to go and get their guy in Pascal Siakam. Two of the picks will be out the door this summer, right? Like, they're going to lose their pick, which right now is number 19, and then the crazy one that has every, you know, like a third of the teams in the league involved in it, which is currently slotted to be number 27. Yeah, you can get a Pascal Siakam at 27. You can get a Malachi Flynn at 29. Who knows what happens, but at least two of them are out the door for the Pacers. So the big concern will be that 2026 season, as long as they're healthy, as long as Siakam does sign a deal there, they're probably giving up somewhere in the middle as well. Who knows, between 15 and 25, depending on what it is. I also maybe underrated how good the Pacers could be. It'll all come down to matchups in the playoffs, but imagine they get a favorable first round matchup, surprise that team, win, and then they take on the Bucks in the second round. They would at least feel confident going into that, and then suddenly you're having a surprise conference finals appearance, which we've seen from teams like the Mavericks in the past, the Hawks in the past. You can accidentally find yourself in the conference finals from time to time. So I think the Pacers did a really good job, especially getting the Pelicans to slide in here, do their business, and not have to get rid of Jalen Smith or Isaiah Jackson or Jairus Walker or these other Canadians that you guys wanted so badly. great stuff from the Pacers. I gave the Raptors a B yesterday. That's a 2024 grade, because I think it's more like a C, trending towards a C-minus if you go back to the 2021 season. That was a weird year. 27-45 for the Raptors. They did not want to pay franchise icon Kyle Lowry, so they signed and traded him for Goran Dragic and Precious Achiuwa. Precious never really did anything for the Raptors. Goran Dragic became a villain, so they had to package a first with him to trade for Thad Young. They lost in the first round of the playoffs that year. Next year, they traded a top six protected first for Jakob Poeltl, lost in the play-in tournament. Then Fred VanVleet leaves for nothing. Then OG Anunoby traded for Emmanuel Quickley. Nice, a good find, and RJ Barrett, who's on a big contract and has at least been playing well.
Yep.
Then we see Siakam here for three middling picks, and Bruce Brown, a guy that JD's brother doesn't even know who he is.
Right.
It's not great. I'm just saying, You're always telling me trust in Masai. Yep. This guy has absolutely not been cooking the past 3 years.
No, for sure. Waited too long. I think we've talked that into the ground on some of these decisions here. He tried to stay competitive, especially the Poeltl move, like you brought up, you know, giving up the pick to like get a center and see if they could like do something in a play-in or then a playoffs, and they couldn't even make it to the playoffs. No doubt about it. I think the OG return looks good right now. No doubt. They're going to pay quickly. He's going to be one of their guards for the future. RJ Barrett is incredible when he plays in Canada, so that's good to see. But yeah, this return for Siakam, no, it's not good at all because there's no young prospect to even convince yourself or get excited about. Like we said, with either Bia Kuminga or Josh Green or some of these other teams or some of the guys on the Pacers who they refused to put in this deal. So good for them. The whole part of this, though, is they didn't want to pay Siakam moving forward. That's it, right? And now the Pacers, we did learn after doing the emergency podcast, he's staying in Indiana. Like, he has talked with that team. There are some, like, wink-wink handshake deals that, yeah, I'm going to be signing here. And I'm fascinated to see what type of deal it is. He could get a two-year 81.5 extension with the Pacers. I doubt it will be that. That's up till June 30th. And then, because the Pacers inherit his bird rights, they could go over the salary cap. They could re-sign him to a new contract worth $247 million for 5 years. You know, that's looking at like $47 million the first year, and then it goes up to $51, then $55, then $60, then $65. I'm not saying it will be that, but it'll probably be close. But I also love this for Indiana. I do, because nobody signs with this team. Mm-hmm. They never get a free agent. Who's their biggest free agent signing ever? It's probably David West. No offense.
That was a good get when they got David West.
No offense to David West. I honestly think it's the only all-star that ever signed in free agency. At the time, he was an all-star and then signed there. Otherwise, you're thinking of like Bojan Bogdanovic, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, Bruce Brown, CJ Miles, TJ McConnell. Like, it's good players, but no one moving the needle like a Siakam can and should alongside Haliburton. So this is the more I have thought about this, the more I do love it for Indiana. They're betting on Tyrese Haliburton. That's what I love. They're like, nah, he's special. He's special. We have something here. Push some chips in. Some chips in. Like, we still have a lot of draft picks down the line. We still have so much talent on our team. Go for it. Get him a running mate. And this could work like incredibly well. Siakam with a bunch of shooters. Haliburton's a great shooter. Buddy Hield is still there. Miles Turner hasn't shot the three all that well this year, but you have to sort of respect his shot as a big. Neesmith shoots a lot of them. He shoots a good percentage. That's a lot of room for him to operate. Siakam there slicing and doing the little Draymond short roll type thing. I think this is going to be fun. So it's cool that they sort of like went for it here with the idea that they're going to sign this guy because they don't get anyone else to ever sign there. And that's what we talked about on the emergency podcast yesterday.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That's exactly why they did it. The Pacers are such a good offensive team. It's interesting to see how Pascal will fit because they love shooting the three. Pascal is going to operate as a two-man, you know, as a two-point shooter. That's where he is. Incredibly well.
Yeah.
That's where he thrives. He is not a three-point shooter, but they're an incredibly bad defensive team, and that's where he's going to have to pick up this team. They're literally number one in the league as an offensive team. So they're looking at him just to hold things together on the defensive end, and he wanted to get his last big contract of his career. He's turning 30. He wants to get a big fatty, and it wasn't coming from the Raptors, and I totally understand why it wasn't coming from the Raptors. They've got Barrett. They've got Quickley. They've got Barnes. He was duplicating some skills there. That's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. And he had to move on. And this was year five after the Raptors championship that they gave it a shot. And it was prolonged, yeah, by the weird Tampa season. It probably would have ended a little bit quicker. But they gave it shot after shot after shot after shot. And it was time to go. That's what it comes down to. It's tough to see him go. But the Pacers are making the right move because they need a defender. They're literally basically at the bottom in terms of defense. And he's going to be asked to guard 1 to 5 over and over and over. And I'm really interested to see what happens with Jakob Poeltl in the future of this Raptors team because they signed him to a contract, but it is a tradable contract at any time. And I just wonder if that happens at some point because just watching this team yesterday, how it was driving kick, driving kick, driving kick, five guys spaced out,
yeah,
can all
shooters.
Shoot the thing. Yeah. Every single one. We know Barrett, Quickley and Barnes are anchors of this team. And then they're going to add Bruce Brown to this team who can drive and kick. That's what he does. Yesterday, it was Jontay Porter Michael Porter's bro starting at center as a 3-point shooter. And so it will be different to see. This is what Darko Rajakovic wants. He wants drives and kicks over and over and over. It happened last night. It was an incredible game for the Toronto Raptors. They look so good. So the five out is going to be interesting. I don't necessarily think that Jakob is there forever, even though Masai made that deal and said, we're trading a first-round pick for you. Ideally for the Raptors this year, they move down in the lottery and they're able to keep that pick, because they could keep that pick because it could literally be in the top six. Right now it's bottom seven. It's number seven. But in the lottery they could get it. And it's an interesting run here. They're going to give this obviously a good chance and into next year. Barrett, Quickley, Barnes, and maybe Brown. But that's the weird thing about the Raptors. They may have not got anything other than draft picks in this trade.
Well, the Raptors would have a great record if they just, like, every second night trade a guy and then play a game. Because, yeah, let's go to it. Gary Trent Jr., he is slotted into the starting lineup alongside Porter there, like you said. He goes off for 28 points, season high. Basically couldn't miss from three, nor the Raptors as a team could. They crushed the Heat, 121-97. They outscored them 41-18 in the first quarter and never really looked back. I think it got as close as like 20 there, and then Barnes shut the door in the fourth, setting up three-point shooters, attacking, and ended it. Crazy out-of-nowhere win. Sort of similar to what happened after they got RJ and Quickley in there for the first game. But, any other thoughts on a night where they could not miss from three, and the game prior against the Celtics, they couldn't hit a single shot from distance. They hit four that one game, and then they hit 20 last night. I mean, that's also today's NBA, I get it, but it sounds like you like the idea of a little bit more shooting out there, or at least for one night it worked.
Everybody loves shooting. I wonder who starts at center long term for this team, because, obviously the driving and kicking is exactly what Darko wants. It's exactly what good coaches want. I think that's what's happening in Cleveland right now. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley go down. Oh, let's just drive and kick. Everybody gets a chance. And so in this game, I thought maybe RJ Barrett was giving a little tribute to Pascal Siakam with those beautiful spins last night. Those were fantastic. But it came down to good defense. The Heat just weren't driving hard enough, I don't think, to help space their offense. But it came down to the fourth quarter, Scotty. Scotty was awesome. He turned over a couple times. Forget about the turnovers. And then he just turned it around. He went at Bam Adebayo, scoring twice in the post on Bam Adebayo on a center, because he can do that. And it may not look pretty. It may not look like your typical teacher, what you learn in the post, because he kind of looks unconventional down there. Mm-hmm. But he's so good at it, and he set up so many three-point shooters. Five assists in that friggin' quarter from Scotty Barnes. He closed the door. The offense obviously now goes through him a lot of the time. And with shooters around him, there's so much space, and he's just lethal. So that was a great fourth quarter. First game fun for Scotty Barnes. The next 40 games is going to be fun to watch him. This is your number one.
Yep.
This is who he is.
The keys have been handed to him.
But he loves passing the ball. Again, five assists in one quarter. It's not like he just wants to shoot. He wants to be a point guard / score.
Any thoughts on a dominant victory here from the Raptors with Siakam being traded the same day?
Not a ton. Not a ton of thoughts here. But if this is the RJ Barrett that the Raptors are going to be getting, then he actually is the steal in the trade. It wasn't Emmanuel Quickley. The guy's averaging 20 a game, shooting 57% and 43% from three. That probably is not going to be the case for the entirety of RJ Barrett's tenure in Toronto, but he's looking good right now. And the mix seems to make sense. It's kind of weird, though. The Raptors went from having like all 6'8 and 6'9 guys to now having all 6'4 and 6'5 guys.
Yeah, going smaller.
A little smaller, a little driving kickier.
Yeah.
But it is funny. You said 20 threes last night and four threes the night before. I see that their season average is 12 threes per game.
There you go.
Adds up.
Some nights they're hot, some nights they're not. So, they get that one. And Gary Trent Jr. is another name who could be moved here at the deadline. This would maybe help the trade value when he goes and hits eight threes in a particular game and has his best game of the season, because he's had a quiet year, all things considered. Maybe they're keeping him. I think he would be available on a trade market for the right pick. I think they'd move off him. So he has a great game. Even Grady Dick was playing well for the Raptors. So
spin pass from Grady.
Yeah, 360 pass in the middle of the court. That was weird.
Yeah, lots of weird stuff happened. Not weird that Gary Trent had 28 points and zero assists. That's Gary, baby. That's what he does out there. RJ Barrett shot 7 of 13 from the free throw line. weird that he missed so many free throws out there. But I think everybody now under this Masai era is available. Besides your stars, I think Masai is looking at this team as with Trent, even with Poeltl, even with guys going up and down the roster, he's just looking to support Barnes, Barrett, and Quickley right now. And that's it.
All right, let's move to some other games from last night. We had a fun one here in Atlanta. DeJounte Murray hit a 17-footer at the buzzer to lift the Hawks past the Magic 106-104. And this was on the heels of Paolo Banchero banging home a three to tie it up. Ball goes to Murray. Trae Young's hopping up and down. It's all right. He was telling us after the game, hey, I was just trying to let DeJounte Murray know that Quinn Snyder wanted to call a timeout. Quinn Snyder, he confirmed that story. Okay, so don't freak out. But what a shot from Murray, and what a game here for the Atlanta Hawks. Any notes?
That was a really weird ending.
That was a weird ending.
Yeah, because Paolo hit an extremely tough three. That was hard, hard to hit. So he tied the game, and it looks like Trae Young wanted a timeout. He was jumping up and down. And apparently Quinn Snyder was also asking for a timeout without the jumping down. So he was just standing there kind of signaling for it, so the referee didn't really look at it, and DeJounte Murray comes down and bangs home a shot. So
tough shot, arena, too. Like, yeah. Really contested.
Yeah, and yeah, it wasn't quite the celebration, I thought. And Trae came over to him, but they didn't really – he was still pissed about the timeout. that was just a whole weird ending in an odd game. Because Trae, not only that did he do that, but with the Magic down three and Jalen Suggs at the free throw line, minute left, Trae Young lines up in the free throw area, standing there, and first free throw, he jumps in. You know, he just tries to throw off Jalen Suggs. Then for the second free throw, he gets out of there because he's not lining up anymore. They were able to get another free throw opportunity. Wendell Carter, first free throw opportunity. Trae Young, again, lining up. This time, back turned to the free throw area, complete back to the area. Wendell Carter shoots his first free throw, and that's when Trae Young turns around and jumps in the area to try and throw him off. Didn't work again. A second free throw, he got the heck out of there again, and he hit a couple free throws on the other end to make it a three-point game before Banchero hit his three. It is a weird thing that Trae Young also handshakes Jalen Johnson after every free throw, like a full handshake, not a high five. Why do you want a handshake on the floor? That's weird to me. That's too much involvement.
Too much grip.
You want a coordinated handshake on the floor? That's strange to me.
After a free throw.
Yeah. I mean, going into a game. No, after basically anything in the game, he'll do a full handshake that we've got ready for this. But it was cool to see. You know, besides the turnovers, that the Hawks were able to, they're like the mirror of each other. Hawks got a good offense, bad defense. The Magic are the exact opposite. They struggle a little bit offensively, but they've got a great defense, and they held on because the Magic just weren't able to win it right at the end.
Any notes on this?
The Magic offense is scary in a not good
not
way.
A good way.
It was, the fourth quarter was pretty brutal to watch on the offensive side of the ball for the Magic. For the most part, it was Paolo shooting step-back jumpers, shooting, settling, because he's playing out there with Jalen Suggs, Markelle Fultz, Chuma Okeke, and Wendell Carter Jr., who still does not look at the rim when he catches the ball. He hasn't looked at the rim since he catches the ball at the 15-foot free throw line since he played for the Bulls. Just look, man. You can shoot it, but there is nobody out there that can create a shot outside of Paolo. Sometimes he's able to get to the rim, which is great, but otherwise he's having to settle for jumpers, and he hit the big one to tie the game, which, you know, at least gave the Hawks a chance to not have to call timeout, even though they say they were trying to call timeout. Who knows? They got a good shot out of it. It went down, and, you know, I think a good win for the Hawks after a couple of really bad games over the weekend. They bounced back with two nice wins here, getting one in the clutch. That was great from Atlanta, but the Magic need Franz Wagner back ASAP. He's been out for quite some time with an ankle injury, and they got to make a move because their best perimeter players right now are Cole Anthony and Joe Ingles. Like, they have to have Cole Anthony or Joe Ingles in handling the ball to get decent shots. Mm-hmm. They're not getting good shots, but they're getting decent shots at least when those guys are out there. Obviously, the defense falls off when they take the court, but the mix for the Magic right now, it ain't great. That's why Gogo Bitadze is having such a great season. He can hit the offensive glass, and there are a lot of opportunities.
Right. lot of missed shots there. Two huge dunks in this game, which was nice. I almost went down to the Fortress to watch this game. I ultimately decided not to. We had all that Siakam news going on, and Jared, our friend, I said, wow, what a game. What an ending. He's like, the game sucked until the ending.
Yeah,
he's like, it was gross. So, yeah, the Hawks had 23 turnovers, sloppy play. Fun ending with the shots being made, but you had to sit through 45 minutes of pretty brutal basketball to get there. Anyway, two big dunks. Big Johnson, huge dunk and a little stare down there on Goga, right? Put him in the rim. And then Cole Anthony had a nice dunk where he got up high, sort of going baseline. Also had Anthony Edwards throwing down a beautiful dunk last night against the Pistons. Good night for highlights in the NBA, even despite some of the blowouts that we had. Some good stuff there.
Yeah, at one point, the Hawks had turned the ball over so many times that Bob Rathbun said to Dominique Wilkins, "You may not know this rule, Neek, but back in the day, once we got to 20 turnovers, we just wouldn't talk about him anymore." He finished with 23.
Yeah.
You heard far less about him after number 20, though.
Like on the broadcast, is he talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gets so 23. High, it's like it's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's too many.
Trey had 8. That's for sure.
Yeah. Another game I wanted to touch on, Brandon Ingram getting the triple-double. Pelicans set a franchise record for threes. 25 they splashed last night in the 132-112 victory over the lowly Hornets. But Pels are cruising right now,
8-3 in their last 11. They're up to 8th in offense, 9th in defense, 7th in net rating. This is a good team who's been playing pretty well basically through December and January. Tough start to the season. I think they started 10-9. We're just kind of scuffling, but they figured out how to play together. And a triple-double for Brandon Ingram, 28-10-10, career-high 7 threes, and you mentioned 25 threes for the Pelicans. Jordan Hawkins hit 6, Trey Murphy the 3rd hit 5, CJ McCollum hit 4. I loved seeing Zion, 9 assists. He was playing a lot of minutes with Hawkins and Trey Murphy the 3rd, so the Hornets were doing their best to form a wall, and Zion would just see the wall and make an easy pass for a wide-open 3. This looked like a team running through practice looks against the Hornets. It was like, all right, Brandon, we're going to run a pick and roll. We'll have a guy crash down here. You're going to have to find the left wing. Let's run it. Boop, 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 boop. Find it. Left wing swish. We did it. All right, let's try it this time. Valanciunas, roll down the lane. We'll hit you. The defense will step up. You got to find the guy in the corner. And they did it. Mm-hmm. No problem. Every look was very easy for the Pelicans last night. But Ingram, impressive, and I bring him up because I saw yesterday we talked a lot about potential All-Star snubs. Pelicans fans in the comments were saying, man, Brandon Ingram can't get even a mention as a what about this guy.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he should.
He should be there.
As a what about this guy?
He might should just be there with their record as it is. He's their best player.
He is.
Yeah.
21-5-5, though.
Ooh, I thought it was a little higher than that. Oh, really? Yeah.
I mean, the percentages are nice, 49, 36, okay. 81. He's playing well, definitely, but, you know, like, he's playing pretty well as a number one guy. Zion is doing basically the same percentages, or scoring-wise and all that kind of stuff, but I'm sure he'll get some coaches' votes, but probably on the outside looking in, I would imagine.
We've talked before about he might be the most underrated player in the league, just like you sort of forget about him, that he's there, but the numbers he puts up and when they're winning and the impact he has, that's a good call. You're right. I guess we should have thrown him in there on the what about this guy. I just love this team. They could be a scary team to play in a playoff series because of their shooting, right? When you've got Trey Murphy the 3rd and you've got Jordan Hawkins out there on the perimeter with the ball going through Ingram and Zion, you know, different come a postseason, and the defense is a lot better, and you're going to try and take those guys away. Those guys are both shooting 39% from deep, and all I kept thinking watching the highlights of Jordan Hawkins, like, you know, splashing shots, and then Trey Murphy the 3rd splashing shots, is like, the Hornets definitely could have had Trey Murphy the 3rd. They took James Bouknight. They took the Catman.
Ooh, the book at 11th. Is closed on him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's other teams after. I mean, the Wizards took Corey Kispert, and, like, there's other ones in that draft. But, you know, Murphy the 3rd, he dropped all the way to 17th. And this guy, he's such a good shooter. And Hawkins coming in as a rook, man. That guy lets it fly, and it's a pretty-looking shot. So, I don't know. I just think they could get in the right matchup. They could just have one of those, you know, you just got to get hot for, like, a week there, and those guys are hitting. I think they'll put up a fight in a postseason postseason series, whoever they play.
It's always fun going through every draft and seeing how you screwed up, because we just talked about the Orlando Magic. Raptors fans were extremely mad that they took Scottie Barnes over Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
And Suggs is now having to handle the ball a lot as a starting guard without their starters, without their depth. And very good defender, extremely good defender, but Raptors fans are extremely happy years late. And to watch Brandon Ingram years after his Lakers run and what he's doing here, hit seven threes, I thought that's got to be the most of his career, stepping back and hitting threes, tied his career high. Mm-hmm. But it helped. They're playing this Hornets team that it was a really good defensive lesson that you went through there, Trey, like the defensive practice. That the one thing that the Hornets were doing was walling off, but they weren't good at anything secondary, nothing. Zip, zilch, zero. 25 threes just because the Pels were making extra passes. That's a franchise high for them. And Zion was, ripping it across. Just one quick pass, nine helpers.
That 2021 draft, Cade going one, like you said, Barnes going four, Suggs five. You got Giddey, Kuminga, Franz Wagner, obviously Green and Mobley up top there too. But at number nine, after Franz, goes to the Magic at eight. Davion Mitchell to the Kings. Zaire Williams to the Pels there, drafted by. Book Knight, Hornets, like I said. Josh Primo to the Spurs. Chris Duarte to the Pacers. Moody to the Warriors. And Kispert at 15 to the Wizards. Şengün at 16. And then Trey Murphy III going 17th. Drafted by the Grizzlies, but in that deal, making his way, obviously, to the Pels.
Well, there you go, Raptors fans. There's good players to be found in the team.
That's right.
And a lot of bad ones.
Exactly. You just got to get lucky.
Basically. But man, the Hornets. Let's a minute here on the Hornets. They got the best record of the Soggy Bottom boys. I don't know how. Because they have the worst net rating in the league. -12.1 points per 100 possessions. They are worse than the opponents that they're playing. They've lost 17 of their last 18 games. Mm-hmm. They have a worse net rating than any of the Process Sixers team. They have a worse net rating than the 9-win 72-73 Philadelphia 76ers. However, not a worse net rating than the 2012 Bobcats.
Whoa, wow.
You don't think about the Hornets as literally the worst team in the league because they have double the wins of the Pistons. But, man, this team,
right.
Stinky. Very stinky. And it's easy to score against them. Like, we're talking about the Pelicans hitting 25 threes. They are 20th in three-pointers made per game. Jordan Hawkins is a good shooter, but he looks great against a team like the Hornets when you're shooting wide open shots.
Yeah.
They have a defensive coach in Steve Clifford. Doesn't make sense.
No. I mean, you got me thinking here. We've got the in-season tournament edition. We've got the play-in tournament. That's fun. Do we need an old Gus Macker-like toilet bowl tournament at the end of the season for like the crappy teams, the Nut Dust Bowl, whatever?
We need a toilet bowl.
Soggy Bottom Bowl, whatever we call it. For the worst teams, and like, let's truly find out. Like you said, Hornets got twice the wins as the Pistons, but I think I'd take the Pistons to beat their ass right now. So let's get them going.
What do they play next? Sure.
Let's get them in a little battle here. Maybe there's something there. All right, so we'll leave it there. I know there are a lot of other games on. We'll touch on a few of them when we get into Is This News. Quick break. Back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, here with No Dunks in the Classic Factory. Happy anniversary to the show. Thanks to everybody joining us live on YouTube. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe, podcast listeners. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. That'd be a nice anniversary gift. What do you buy someone on the 18th anniversary? What is it? You know?
No. I haven't got to 18 in my real life yet.
Oh.
Anthony Parker. That's what I buy them. You were 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into Is This News? Some headlines for the boys. You tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. First one from SI, I'm pulling the headline from. Kyrie Irving had interest in reuniting with Lakers LeBron James before the Mavericks deal, per report. Now that report from ESPN's Ramona Shelburne. And within her article, Kyrie greeted LeBron during warmups before the Lakers home game against the Grizzlies in Game 6 of the first round series in last year's postseason. And he was there to send a message to Bron that Kyrie wanted to join forces again. That's the article. Is this news?
No, it's not news. I think it's bringing back memories for me. I thought I had seen this hug. But it wasn't in a playoff game. But either way, I was imagining, well, maybe Kyrie wants to play with LeBron. So I think we're all thinking the same
thing.
Yeah,
we talked about this back in the day.
This isn't news. You did see the hug. There are photos of it.
Yeah. Oh,
and there were reports at the time. Brian Windhorst reported in late May, Kyrie is ready to join the Lakers.
Yeah.
Shams reported in early June, Kyrie is trying to lure LeBron to Dallas. Neither of them happened. But we heard about him. Definitely did.
Yeah.
Because they weren't willing to pay him what the Mavs did. The Mavs paid three for $120 million. He could have gone to LeBron. It is interesting when you look back. They didn't sign him to a max deal. They signed him to a juicy three for 120 that Rob Pelinka obviously wasn't willing to give up a bunch of his younger players to try and go get. So it was news, but I guess it wasn't that that pulling for Rob Pelinka. They obviously could have. They've obviously could have tried, but they didn't want to. So I guess maybe the hug wasn't good enough. I don't know.
Yeah, this was a test. You guys absolutely passed it. This is not newsworthy. I want to see if you guys still knew how to play this game. I guess the one part from Ramona's article that was maybe a little bit interesting was her reporting that says LeBron wanted that Kyrie reunion, or he was open to the idea, but he wasn't too pushy about it, given how the team's Russell Westbrook experiment had failed, right? And, you know, LeBron, by all accounts, was really leading that idea, like, let's get Russ in here, that'll work, and that blew up in their faces, so maybe he wasn't as pushy for the Kyrie. I thought that was interesting. But it's not newsworthy because, did you notice who played on ABC last night?
I did.
It was the Lakers and the Mavs, wow, what a coincidence that this article dropped the day of, trying to, you know, drum up a little buzz there, maybe for that game, under the ESPN sort of umbrella there with ABC, so, yeah.
These two men hugged.
Yeah, they hugged later. Kyrie did show up for another playoff game in probably game four that they lost to the Nuggets. Yep. He was also there to hug LeBron.
Is this
you're
hugs?
Keeping track. Yeah. All right, good. Moving on to the next headline. Really interested to hear whether this is newsworthy. We'll go with the New York Post. DeAndre Ayton prevented from making Blazers return due to icy roads in neighborhood. Trey, is this news?
This is news. You don't see a player miss a game because of icy roads all that often. I did check the Blazers. Looks like a lot of fans made it.
Mm.
Looks like they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players played.
Okay.
Another two were there, but they didn't play. But they made it in. Mm. I noticed that. Interesting.
Well, maybe DeAndre Ayton lives on a very large hill.
Mm.
It's really icy, and that he could not safely get down, and I guess the Blazers sent some staff members to even try and go get him, and they couldn't get to him.
Huh.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be trailblazers.
Come on. Very nice.
Dude's a millionaire. The franchise is worth billions of dollars. Could he have been there?
I think They tried. They couldn't. Ice is a problem in some cities. 50,000 people don't have power in Oregon because of it.
Okay.
So ice is a problem in certain areas. It reminds me of Atlanta, where we live here. Sometimes you're just not ready for ice, and that's what it seems like
is
happening. That's what's happening in Portland. We're ready now here in Atlanta because that day was tumultuous. It was like 9 years ago where no one could move for like 20 hours. I think that's what happened here, I guess. I mean, if they're trying to
get
them out.
And what happened, Tess? What happened that day? They knew it was coming. They put all of them up. We could have stayed in hotels next to Turner because we knew there was going to be an ice storm.
That's right. Show must
go on. So you're telling me that they couldn't put this guy up in a hotel next to the arena?
Mm.
I live in a hill, boss. I need to be somewhere close to the arena.
Yeah. Now, he hadn't played in a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So he hadn't played, I think his last game was before Christmas. So Ayton had missed time here due to injury.
So maybe he's like, I'm not playing anyway.
I think he's just extending the vacation time.
Yeah. Hotels would have been nice, JD. You're right. They should have put everybody in a hotel that day, everybody who lives in Atlanta, because people were just literally stopped on the road and they're like, I don't want to be in my car for 20 hours. Right. Opened the door, shut the door, and they walked out of their cars, and they were just sitting there on the highway. Millions of cars. Not millions. Lots of cars.
Lots of cars.
Hundreds.
I imagine it probably was similar in Oregon to Snowpocalypse, but I mean, I walked an hour. Literally, I walked an hour on the Beltline to go to our job because we had to make a TV show that day.
I did too.
That's the thing. Even I have no idea where Aiton lives. I'm assuming there's a hill involved and ice, right? That's part of the issue. So if he's at the top of this hill and can't get a vehicle down there, nor can the Blazers get up to him, hey, man, jump on a toboggan. Let's go. Whee! Meet you at the bottom. They obviously got to a certain part where he could then get in a vehicle. He probably could have really gotten to this game and decided,
If he wanted to be there, he would have been there.
And a lot of people pointing out on Twitter, of course it happens to this guy, to Aiton, who's been questioned about his love of the game before, especially in Phoenix. And, he's from the Bahamas. He only ever went to school and played in the pros in Phoenix, in Arizona, I should say, and now lives in the Pacific Northwest, where he gets this cold weather from time to time.
Yeah.
So he's not built for this. Mm-hmm. It probably shocked him.
Probably so. I agree. Yeah.
but hey, and in the end, they didn't need him.
Got the dub.
They won. Anfernee Simons hitting a very difficult little floater to get the win over, who was it? The Nets, right? So there you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anfernee Simons, nice one.
Okay. So newsworthy. Definitely funny.
That's unusual.
Very unusual. Very unusual. All right, next one here from The Athletics. Fred Katz. Knicks are actively fielding offers for Quentin Grimes. Is this news? Tass, I want to start with you because you're always talking up Grimes. What do you think?
I love the Grimes, but Tom Thibodeau doesn't seem to love him as much anymore. He's yanked him basically from his old job last year. He was starting. He was playing 30 minutes a game. He has put him to the bench where he's playing like 17 minutes a game from the bench. And so things have changed. I wonder if this story is coming more from the Knicks side or the Grimes side, because I'm sure Grimes ain't happy. But the Knicks are playing a bunch of different guards. They signed Deuce McBride recently to a long-term contract. They've got Josh Hart and Brunson, DiVincenzo, and he wants to start and he needs the appropriate team. It ain't the Knicks, that's for sure. So they probably don't want to sign him long term, and it looks like one of those potential deals here to trade him as he has about a year and a half left of his contract to get as much back as possible. So it looks like the two sides are saying goodbye. I'm not sure if it's a grimy side or if it's the Knicks side, but I think both sides agree. You're not going to be here long term.
What do you think, TK?
Yeah, probably time to move on. There's lots of money in the Knicks' backcourt right now with Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo. They're going to have to pay OG Anunoby, and they just did a deal for Deuce McBride as well. Grimes was pretty solid last year. There's stories floating around now that he lost the trust of Tom Thibodeau because he sat out the last two games of the Cavs series with a shoulder injury. Not tough enough for Tom.
Yeah,
he's been better off the bench, but only an 11.7 usage rate as a starter. And to me, he just looked very gun-shy playing alongside Brunson and Randall. You're not really sure where the shots are going to come from. But when you're playing in that scenario, you got to shoot it every time you touch it. And that's what they wanted from Grimes, and they weren't able to get it. If he's able to do that for another team, he helps. Otherwise, he's like just a dude, I think. Maybe a fifth starter, but more likely a sixth or seventh man.
Yeah, I saw these reports that, again, he lost Tibbs' trust because he wouldn't play through those games in the playoffs. But then that doesn't really make a lot of sense because then he started the season, right? You know, Tibbs gave him a go. He started like 18 of their first 20 games. The only two he missed because of injury. And then he was in the doghouse and made his way to the bench. And the minutes went down, down, down. So, yeah, a little weird. Sounds like a Tibbs-like thing, though. Come on, man. Tough it up.
Tough it up.
You know? Ooh. Tibbs yelling ice while Aiton's stuck in his home. Merge those headlines together.
I do like that.
Just crossed my mind. Yep. But, I'm with you. Like, you love Grimes, like I said. I think he is a solid player. I think in the right spot, I don't know what team it would be, he would play well and would become sort of like quickly a fan favorite there. But I understand why the Knicks move off him here too, because they got a lot of talent there in the backcourt and don't want to be the ones to pay him moving forward. So
yeah, he struggled a little bit as a ball handler, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As a creator, and maybe that's what Tibbs is signing up his team for the future. And he just doesn't seem to be that. A 3-and-D? Yes. And so it depends on the team, I think. But he can do that, and he can defend pretty well.
Yeah, young guy here, too. He's not even 24 years old, only his third year in the league. So time to develop some of those skills, if you can.
Get Masai on the call.
Okay.
Final, Gary for Grimey. Yeah.
Final one here from Reuters. Diamond Sports, in deal to emerge from bankruptcy, signs Amazon streaming pact. So I'll explain this one for maybe some of you out there.
This is confusing.
Diamond, which operates regional sports channels under the Bally Sports brand, said it will receive $450 million. I said Bally as Bally. I know. I always do that. $450 million in financing from the creditor group, $495 million from Sinclair, and then $115 million from Amazon. Okay, so Diamond is going to use these funds to pay down older debts and continue operations, because there was talk like this was... this was going to be like I said, bankruptcy. It was going to be disbanded, all that. Amazon will take a minority equity stake in Diamond as part of the deal. And, you know, in theory, these games are going to be aired on Prime Video, at least the DTC, the direct-to-consumer rights, because Diamond also has linear rights. They have TV rights for a lot of the NBA franchise, a lot of NHL franchises, a lot of MLB franchises. So it sounds like this is, you know, basically Amazon's coming in here and saying, we got you. We're going to help you out and take a part of this and try and keep this alive. Is this news?
Yeah, I guess. I just don't know how I'm watching the Hawks. Do I open my Bally Sports app or my Amazon app? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how to have a take on this right now. Mm-hmm. So here's a take I saw from Tipping Pitches on Twitter. It's so dope that to be an MLB fan, obviously a baseball account, but this goes for NHL and NBA as well. It's so dope that to be a fan in 2024, you have to tangentially follow a bankruptcy court hearing for the failed TV subsidiary of a casino empire that just recently sold off its sports right to the content arm of the bookseller turned tech monopoly that's ruining society.
Yeah, good tweet.
I was like... yeah, that's exactly right. I have to know what's going on between Amazon and Diamond Sports right now,
yeah,
because the big TV deal is coming soon. And this is honestly a decent way for Amazon to get their foot in the door a little bit before this next rights deal comes in and says, look, we helped you out. We've been streaming these games. We can obviously do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are a bigger player coming forward.
Yeah, that's what it definitely seems like. If you read the article, it ain't even exactly clear what's going to happen day to day here after this purchase. But it feels like Amazon is getting in the way to hopefully purchase the right to NBA games when the TV deal is up in a mere 1.5 years. But the negotiations are going to start happening in months. So that's where I think they do want to get in. Because, yes, some of these games will be on Prime Video channels. And hopefully it does remove some from the Bally's app. Because the Bally's app sometimes is a little tough to handle. I've watched plenty of Atlanta games, watched plenty of baseball games through there. But it's a bit of a struggle. So not only will it be through Amazon Prime, but just hopefully there's a better interface for them. And because even if they use Amazon Wire services, maybe they can help, or web services, that's what it's called. Like, they need some help.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just streaming, and maybe it's just showing the NBA, hey, you know how like the MLS is on Apple TV? We can make things going. Things are seemingly going towards streaming networks, and yeah, the Amazon thing may just be baseball games for a long time. It's an interesting deal, but it ain't clear what is happening at all.
What the NBA needs to do, though, is simplify this, like you were saying to that tweet. So, hey, I'm a Hawks fan, or I'm a Grizzlies fan, or whatever. I just want to watch their games. Where?
How do I do it?
How? Like, what do I need? I shouldn't have to have, you know, 10 things, or where it's on this one, and then it's on this one, and I got to pay for this one and this one. Oh, hold on, now it's blacked out on this one. That's insane. It really is insane in 2024 that we're still doing this. So, you know, again, I hope either with Amazon coming in here, the tech side of things, they need it. You're right. Those regional sports networks, it feels like. And then along with the NBA, I mean, I don't really care about the NHL or MLB that much. I hope it also works for fans of those teams and those sports. But yeah, from the NBA side of things, just make this easier for people to pay a cost to watch their teams or the entire league. I can't believe that you pay for League Pass and then you cannot watch your team a lot of the time.
Yes.
That's so insane.
Yes,
and I, you know, I understand why. I get why, because, you know, these networks have paid for it or whatever. But they got to do a better job and can do a better job and hopefully will. Moving forward,
it's like my good friend Ashley Schaefer always says, let the boys watch. The good thing is, though, that teams like the Hawks have started putting games like on just broadcast TV.
Yes.
You could watch them on Peachtree TV here for free, which is cool.
Yeah.
So that's one option. We shall see.
And then remind me, who are the other teams that were like almost doing their own sort of streaming thing? The Suns, I want to say.
I think the Suns.
Maybe the Jazz?
That could be.
Yeah, there's a couple.
It's going to be more common, I do believe.
Yeah, I think so.
One last thing before we move on, Skeets. Yeah. TMZ reported that the Josh Giddey situation is not going to be prosecuted by police.
That's right.
No charges will be filed. Basically, nobody wants to cooperate with the investigation. Shams reported that the NBA has not yet completed its review of the allegations into Giddey, which is being called an inappropriate relationship with a potential minor. I hope we hear from the NBA soon, because there should be some sort of punishment for Josh Giddey. He should be suspended at least for a couple of games. I don't know how long they can go or how long they would go, but I hope we hear something from that soon, since they said they're taking a backseat until the criminal investigation is done. It is done.
Now it's done.
It's time for you to step up, NBA.
Right?
Because this guy is still playing. Every time he touches the ball in every arena, he's booed. Every single time. So let's hear something.
Yeah, there needs to be some resolution for sure.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, before we wrap up today's podcast, we're not going to do Tweet of the Night because we had some very sad news in the NBA community yesterday. Warriors assistant coach Dejan Milojevic died Wednesday after suffering a heart attack at a private team dinner. He was just 46 years old. Deki, as he was known to most in the franchise and around the league, he collapsed at a restaurant in downtown Salt Lake City. He was rushed to an area hospital, and his family flew to Utah to be with him. The Warriors were scheduled to play the Jazz last night. Wisely, that game was postponed. Milojevic was in his third season as an assistant coach for the Warriors, primarily tasked with working with centers. He actually had a legendary 14-year playing career in his home country of Serbia. He was known as an old-school power forward with the nickname Serbian Barkley, which is so cool. He racked up MVPs over there. Then he moved quickly into coaching, and he served as an early mentor for future NBA bigs like Boban and Zubats, and most famously, you see the photo there, two-time MVP Nikola Jokic. He is survived by his wife and his two children, and we here at No Dunks send our condolences to his family, the Warriors family, the Serbian basketball community. Just a really sad day for the whole again, basketball community losing Deki there.
Yeah, he obviously moved a lot of players and teams and fans. As a player for a long time, Darko Rajakovic actually went up to the podium and talked about how he was a big man. He played the five as well, 6'4", 6'5", just played with a lot of heart and a lot of size. And then even guys here, the Atlanta Hawks, Bogdan Bogdanovic also actually, yeah, he came out and said, I don't want to play. He didn't actually. He thought he may not play because he was so emotional. And then after the game, he said, I don't even remember what happened in that game because that's all I was thinking of. He was just thinking of Deki and the influence that he had on Bogdan and a bunch of Serbians that we may not know of, but he had a huge, huge, huge influence on kids everywhere, really.
Yep. Anything to add, TK?
This is a guy who was not well known to the casual fan, right? Like, I'm learning a lot about Milojevic here as well. Everybody seems to love him. I thought it was really cool seeing all of the tributes from everybody. Even a guy like Brandon Pajemski has known him for months. He's like, he changed my life in a couple of months. Everybody that worked with him said he was awesome, said he always had a smile on his face. I thought it was very cool that the Raptors ran one of his plays to start the game in their win last night, scored on it as well, which that's a pretty cool tribute. But man, 46 years old. Is very, very young. He's apparently got kids as well. Yep. Extra, extra sad. So just sad stuff. And no doubt the Warriors are shaken with everybody being there as it happened.
Yeah.
Postponed the game. Reasonably so. So just sad.
Yeah.
Just sad, man.
So to end on that note, thanks for joining us here on No Dunks Today. Hit the like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. We appreciate that. We will be back tomorrow. It's Friday already. We got the Drop podcast, so we'll be live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Again, if you want more Siakam, Pacers, Raptors trade content, we did do the emergency podcast yesterday. Also, on yesterday's show, we talked about it when we were thinking it was going to happen, and they were actively engaged in all that, so we've talked about it a lot, so go check out those pods if you haven't. Until tomorrow, though, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining, and remember, I'm wearing a Raptors jacket. JD was complaining about it because it was making swishy noises. We make often a lot of noises here, JD. We pop our peas all the time.
Hit the table.
There's lots of table hits. Feels like a game. Feels like a game. Oh, yeah, we're on the court right now.
We need squeaking sneakers while we talk hoops. Brace the day, people.